So, welcome everybody to this Trinity mindfulness drop-in session on this sunny, lovely September Wednesday early afternoon. And for those of you who have made a choice to turn up for this rather than sitting on the sun, both are equally as good options, I hope. And when you're ready, close your eyes and kind of arriving in this moment and this moment and this breath and these moments just turn up after another. They're short, they pass. And just for a moment, think of what was your motive or your intention for clicking on this website and on this link today. So why are you here? I'm sure there could have been so many other things you could have done with your half an hour. So why specifically did you choose to turn up today? And in mindfulness, we don't set any goals because as we know, the goalposts, they move very quickly. And in a way, there's nothing to achieve. But what we are cultivating is this ability to be present in the moments. And earlier, I just had a lovely few moments sitting on the campus on the bench beside the rugby pitch and having my coffee and listening to this tractor going up and down, doing, you know, keeping the lawn beautiful, and notice the feather from the seagull, I'd say, on the ground, and the sun just really warming my face and my lovely coffee. And so that was enough just to embody that moment. And they don't need to be long periods, although here we are here for 30 minutes or so. But sometimes all it takes is just that one breath, one, you know, wakening up to what is happening right now within me and on the kind of outside. Notice your body today. How does your body feel? Does it feel that you have energy? Does it feel like alert and kind of in a way fit to be sitting here and buzzing with life? Or does it feel a little bit tired and without judging anything? So even if it feels the way you kind of you don't maybe like or you'd like to feel more energy, again, noticing that's how it is right now. It's not always going to be like this, but this is me right now. And noticing how you're sitting and where you're sitting. If you're sitting on the chair, the you know how your body is touching the seat. And in a way, feeling the landscape of the body, how it's always touching the earth somehow, even below these tons of concretes and the floors and carpets and whatever, that there is the earth. Sense of sitting on the lap of the earth, held, supported by the gravity, and these forces are bigger than ourselves. And we are tuning in and attending this landscape and the senses of the body and just how it's breathing itself. Taking in the life-giving oxygen and breathing out the carbon dioxide. And opening and inviting in the soundscape. Inside and outside, human sounds, nature sounds, and how the senses connect us with this wider sphere we are inhabiting. Bring your awareness to your feet. Are they touching something? Are the socks and shoes and the surfaces they are resting on? And for a moment, give gratitude to your feet. And believe me, as a physiotherapist, I know more than anybody else how important they are, because we can get new hips, we can get new knees, we can do different type of surgeries, but the feet, we can't replace them with anything. And they are really carrying us through the life from place to place. So thank you, feet. And take care of your feet, and even doing little rituals with them. It's a kind of a sense of kind of love and kindness towards ourselves. That's what we call pampering. So we can pamper the feet, but by doing that, we are loving ourselves and giving ourselves the attention we deserve. And moving up to the knees, let them be soft. And all of us have stories about the knees, some past injuries, some twinges, or even maybe worrying that they might give up because somebody in the family might have it and think that it might be hereditary. So just allowing them to be soft and taking care of the knees like everything else. And first twinge, just if you don't know what's going on, ask somebody who might know. This precious body, and now we, with this virus, we know even more than before how precious and important and at the same time vulnerable it is. So even taking care of it and eating properly, sleeping, keeping fit, this is all the resilience. And even when you catch this thing, it's not going to be as strong as it might be otherwise. So there are things we can do. And the hip, and the two hips, so sitting on the sit bones. And the spine upright. So taking this posture, as we do when we do these formal type of meditations, that embodies a presence and dignity. And already by straightening up, we are sending signals to the nervous system. Yes, we are here. We are present. The body is communicating with the nervous system and that controls the release of the chemicals. And we have a choice. Do we want to have more of these happier hormones and chemicals circulating in our body, or the stress hormones? So that switch is ours to turn on and off. And that's what mindfulness is helping us to do. So how else do we notice if we don't? How else can we change if we don't notice? How are your shoulders today? Have you been sitting at the computer all morning, and do they feel the stiffness from that? And allowing them to soften and to drop and be as relaxed as it possibly they can. Not easy, because that years of posture related and stress related tension. This is the place in the body where it all tends to accumulate. And the arms, so resting for now. And isn't it funny that the hands seem to be these days the busiest parts of the body, typing and using all the devices and technology. And so we are given this wonderful body, and then we are just working the hands for those of us using the technology for the work. And even if it's not technology, it's also people cultivating the land, but they're using the whole body. So there's something, some kind of funny number that an office worker only uses 85% of the body's capacity in a normal working day. Isn't it a shame? But again, this is our choice, how much we stand up, how much we sprinkle the movements into our day and on our free time being active. And notice your face today. How does it feel? Is it so often we don't even know we are carrying these worry wrinkles, and if the face looks like a dried raisin with a worry. So let it smooth, let it soften, just let it be pleasant. And who knows, even the corners of your mouth might turn up. The jaws are relaxed, another busy place in the body. And we are worrying and grinding the teeth. So having that little bit of surprised look on the face when the jaws are relaxed. And now notice, where is the breath showing up in your body? So if you're new to the mindfulness practice, we are not changing anything here. We are not creating a different state of being, but we are becoming aware what is already present, and that includes the breath, always there. So noticing the in-breath and the out-breath. And the expansion that the in-breath brings, and the contraction that the out-breath brings. And you've probably noticed many times already since we started that the mind has wandered and been hijacked by something that's in your mind, or maybe there's an sort of unfinished task or planning what's going to happen, and yeah, either past or present, past or future, and that's what the minds do. And what a relief to know that there's nothing wrong with the mind wandering. It's liberating. Of course, we have this wonderful mind, and it just has its own life and its own will, if you like. But then as soon as we notice that I didn't intend to go there, then you bring it back. And if it happens to be 100 times, 1,000 times, so what? We can never fail. We can only start again. What is the difference between daydreaming and mind wandering? So daydreaming or people who are creative and artists, that's where they get the ideas, when they are just sitting idle, doing nothing and letting their mind to wander wherever. But here we are intending to maybe notice the breath or being present with the body. So that's where we are like to bring the mind back, because that was our intention, to align in intention with the attention. I'll read you a poem. There is no controlling life. Try curling a lightning bolt containing a tornado. Dam a stream and it will create a new channel. Resist and the tide will sweep you off your feet. Allow and grace will carry you to higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in. The wild and the weak, fear, fantasies, failures, and success. When loss rips off the doors of the heart, or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. So how can we turn a crisis into an opportunity? So many people have said that they've realized that what a crazy life they have been living, spending hours commuting. And this, the whole thing has been a life opener for them, and it has changed their quality of life. And this is a good thing that has happened to them. And other people, maybe not so happy with the situation, and has maybe kind of changed their quality of life, or not in a positive way. So turning the crisis to opportunity. So when we see these challenges as opportunities, already we are changing the neurochemistry, and there is these sort of neurotransmitters that help us to be a little bit more clear in the head and make us feel energized, as opposed to kind of resisting everything and seeing everything as a challenge in a negative way. And this is not quite positive thinking, because we are not saying to ourselves that this is awful, but I'm happy. But we are just looking at different ways of being with this reality. And is there kind of new ways, maybe? And can we come out of that automatic pilot and maybe having a larger view and it's just a suggestion or an invitation. And then for the last few moments, just coming back, and can you place one hand on your heart and one on the belly? Just really connecting, deeply, deeply connecting with ourselves before we leave and start doing whatever we need to do. So this is our time. This is my time. This is me time. And this is my ultimate act of kindness towards myself to be here right now. Turning up in my life and looking after me, the most important person on the earth for me. Because until we are kind to ourselves, we can't really be kind to the others, and the world needs the kindness more than ever. And feeling maybe the heartbeat, and noticing the breath, and maybe the warmth from your hands. Just giving gratitude to all the good things in your life and in our lives, and even in Ireland, we don't have these wild burning forest fires like they have in the States and in the Amazon, and we might give out about the rain, but it's often a blessing. And we have this clean air, and luckily we have the sun this week as well to prolong the summer, because it might be a difficult winter ahead, so we need to charge the batteries as much as possible. So take it in, even if it's for a moment, going to the balcony, going to the garden, closing your eyes and turning your face to that clear sky and the solar energy, and going, yes, this is okay. Just think of something in your own life. What is good for you this week? What is working for you? What are you grateful for? And then coming back to it whenever you can, and when the news take over and we feel restricted, we feel frustrated. So coming back to that is good, and that's working. And when you're having these kind of phrases in your mind, just make sure that doesn't have a don't or a no in it. So that I wasn't run down by the bus. We can turn around and say, yes, I am safe. Because the words are powerful, and the nervous system is scanning every thought going through the mind. And even that having that no in it is kind of lessening what you're trying to do. And then when you're ready, softly open your eyes.